Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 2 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 387. We'll be reading the first four verses. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, page 387. Just the four verses, but we'll read them responsively. And let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. And verse 2 is the text verse, and especially those words that say, Show thyself a man. And let's pray. Dear Lord, we do ask for your help. Without your help in this service, then the service is to no avail. So we pray for thy blessing and thy power. Please help the people to listen, to be attentive to thy word as preached by thy man. And so bless preacher and listener alike. In Jesus' name, amen.
At the college last Wednesday, I brought a message entitled, Show Thyself a Man. I'm not going to bring the same message, though I will repeat a bit of it. I want to enlarge on that message. I feel like our young people need to hear it. I feel like all of us need to hear it. So I want you to give me a hearing as I talk to you on the subject, Show Thyself a Man. Word spoken to Solomon by his father David. There are certain scriptures in the Bible that just stir me when I read them. Think about them. And I like that one. I just like to read it. Show thyself a man. Does that do something, you guys? Lord, show thyself a man. I just like it. First place, I'm glad to be a man. I'm so thankful God didn't make me a woman. I really do. Now, there are a few things about it. I wish I didn't have to shave three times a day. I'll tell you, I just praise God every day that I'm a man. I feel sorry for you women. I really do. There's just not much to you. I went too far then, didn't I? A bunch of hen-pecked bases over here in the car. Their wives sit in the audience and give signals to them, you know, and that means that they can go ahead and say amen. The wife does that. Anyway, this passage, I just like it. It's sort of like I can do all things through Christ. That statement just sort of makes me ready. Or we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And this one, show thyself a man. Now, that gets me in a preaching mood just to think about it. So I like it. And tonight I want to take it and show you what it means. And elaborate a little bit on what I spoke at the college and go beyond and give a few other thoughts about it because I think we need to hear it. Father, bless the message and warm my own heart and help me to be what my people need me to be. Dear Lord, I need to preach a children's sermon and a youth sermon and a comforting sermon and a challenging sermon and informative sermon, and I can't do that unless you help me. I need your help, and I pray that you would lead and direct in this hour, in Jesus' name, amen. The patriarchs did a wonderful thing. They had a custom when a patriarch died, he would gather around him his children and relatives and close friends. And there he would speak to them and bless them, advise them, and give them parting words of wisdom. David was dying. He calls his son Solomon, who is not only a son, but his successor on the throne of Israel. And he says several things to Solomon. And one thing he says is, Solomon, show thyself a man. These are words written by a dying king to his incumbent, to his son. He says, son, show thyself a man. Now, the first thought we have is, he was saying, son, you be masculine. Now, I think every dad ought to say that to his son 10,000 times. I'll tell you what, fellas, we've got to grow and rear some masculine young men. These little bowsy wowsies running around here just won't get the job done. I mean, I just don't. We ought to make men out of our boys. That's all there is to it now. I've got a chapter in my book on the strength and beauty called How to Make a Man Out of a Boy, and we need some men. But Solomon's not saying, David's not saying it's Solomon. He said in other places in the Bible statements, but that's not primarily what he's saying. He's not saying, Solomon, you be a real masculine fella. He's not saying that. Now, don't misunderstand me. That is one of his teachings. But that's not the primary thing he's saying here. Neither is he suggesting male chauvinism. He's not, though he certainly, David was for a man being the head of the show. And to save my life, I can't figure out why there would be somebody in Chicago that couldn't be mayor besides a woman. I can't figure that out. It looks like we ought to find some man somewhere, though I do think Jane Byrne might be the man for the job. I also can't figure out why, with all the educators in America, why we couldn't find some man to run the Chicago school system and some man, the president of the University of Chicago. I have nothing against women. I'm for them. If we were voting on whether to keep them or not, I'd vote to keep them. I'm not against them at all. As Dr. Rice used to say, I'm half woman myself. My mother was a woman. And I'm not against women. I'm for them. My soul, Reuben, Rachel, I've been thinking what the queer world this would be if the girls were all transported far beyond the northern sea. And to be quite frank with you, I think that girls were made out of sugar and spice and everything nice. I think that boys were made out of sugar, more sweet sugar and sweeter spice and everything nicer. But I'm for girls. I like them. This would be an ugly crowd tonight if all we had was men. And it would be a stinking crowd tonight, too, all we had. If all the Chanel number 5 were taken out, all we'd have left is perspiration number 6. And so I thank God for the men and the women, the women in the church. But I'm glad I'm a man. I wouldn't want to roll my hair every night. Oh, bless God, if I had some hair to roll, I wouldn't mind it at all. Mine is done roll, but except these two that are 14 feet long that I weave across my head like that. But I'm glad I'm a man, and I believe in being manly, and I believe in being masculine, that is, for men being masculine. And but that's not the primary teaching of this verse here. When David said, son, show thyself a man, he wasn't saying primarily, you be a masculine fella. Nor was he saying, you have a masculine disposition, a personality, and you be a leader, and be strong, and have willpower, and have self-discipline. So all those things a man ought to have. But what he's saying is this. He's saying, you have in you, son, both man and animal, beast. He's saying, now the thing I want to say to you, son, is don't live like a beast. Live like a man. He is exalting man above all the creations of God, and is saying to his son, son, you realize that you are the most exalted of all God's creatures, and God made you to be the foreman of the entire world, and God made you to be the boss man, and you're God's pet creation. And he's saying, son, if that be true, don't live like a beast. Don't live a sensuous life. He's saying, live a life that is the life as a man should live, contrary or in comparison to the life of a beast or an animal. I think he was saying this. I think he was saying, son, be glad that you belong to the human race. Be glad that you belong to the human race, that you are a man. Now, I believe in patriotism. I believe in a spirit of corps. I believe in school spirit. I love it. I believe in, for example, I happen to be glad that I'm American. And I think anybody doesn't stand up to sing the Star Spangled Banner, somebody will make him so he can't stand up. And I think that one day, years ago, oh, I guess 15 years ago, a couple of, or a few hippies over here, had an American flag, or washing a car with it. And American flag. Washing it, polishing it, one. And I couldn't stand it. I organized me a posse of men, and we went over and captured that flag. Nobody's going to polish a car with an American flag if it's just four or five of them and 20,000 of us. I've got the courage to stand up against them. And but I'm saying, I'm a flag-waving, patriotic, George Washington-loving American. And I'm glad. I tell you, if you ever want to get proud of America, you go around the world or go to other countries like I've been. Man, remember that day that we were on the 4th of July? Was it 4th of July? We were in the Holy Land, and we were in Jerusalem, and we had a special little 4th of July? And we had a special little service, and all of us got American flags and carried them up and down the streets of Jerusalem. And we're proud to say we're Americans, and you ought to be. This is going to shock you. I'm proud now to be from the North. Folks, when I go down south, I'm very proud to be from North Texas. My favorite part of the country is from the North, Texas. And where I grew up, a Yankee was a guy that lived in the northern part of Texas. And I go down south. I'm proud. I've even changed some words. I used to say pajamas. Now it's pajamas. If I'm up north, I'm down south, still pajamas. And I'm proud, and I mean that. I'm glad that I'm a Hoosier. I'm not ashamed of it. And if I were, I'd move. I'm glad, and I mean this too. I have a Texas heritage. And I love to say that Texas did not come to the United States of America. We did not secede in the Union. Texas was a foreign country, had its own president, a country of its own. And we came in the Union by treaty with the United States. And I like that. I love to tell about the Alamo when they drew that line and said, "Step across, fellas." And this one old guy, everybody stepped across except one, and he said, "Carry me across." I like that. Man, I like that. Eyes of Texas, you know. You can live on the plains or the highway, down where the sea breezes blow, but you still live in beautiful Texas, the most beautiful state that I know. I'm proud of that. If I had my choice to live in Indiana or Texas now, I'd take Indiana hands down. I mean that. But I'm glad I have a Texas heritage. I don't care. I'm glad I'm white. I think you folks are black, or to be glad you're black. I mean that. Be glad. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. I think you ought to be glad you're black. But it so happens I'm white. I was preaching to a preacher down south not long ago, and he said, a black preacher, he and I were sharing the pulpit, and he said, "I want you to know I'm glad I'm black." He said, I got on a black suit, black tie, and he said, "I got on black socks and black shoes." He said, I've got four black kids. When I die, my wife will be a black widow. And he was proud of it, and I liked it. I stood up, and I said, "I'm white. Then I'm white." I have on a white shirt and a white T-shirt, and as far as I can go, and only go so far here. And I said, "We have four white kids." And I said, "My president don't live in no black house." But I'm proud of what I think you ought to be. I'm glad I'm a Baptist. I often preach in groups that aren't Baptist. I spoke the other day for a fundamental group who wasn't Baptist. And somebody asked me, said, what would you be? If you weren't a Baptist, what would you be? I said, I'd be ashamed, of course, if I weren't a Baptist. And I'm glad I'm a Baptist. Some fellows wrote me a letter and said, we're charismatic. Said, we understand you're going to teach 10 courses on the Holy Spirit in the pastor's school. Said, are you going to offend us? I wrote back and said, I am a Baptist. Yeah, Baptist born, Baptist bred. When I die, I'm Baptist dead. A lot of Baptists are dead already now. And now I'm not against the Methodists. I love them enough. I'd baptize every one of them. If they'd let me, I would, if they'd get saved. And I'm not criticized. I just happen to be glad I'm a Baptist. I like that. And what God is saying, what David is saying, he's saying, son, he's saying, have some kind of a human nature spirit. Have some kind of a spirit of core. Be proud, Jeremiah. Talk like a man, not like a beast. Walk like a man, not like a beast. Live like a man, not like a beast. Love like a man, not like a beast. He's saying, what I want you to be, son, is this. I want you to sit tall in the saddle, and stand tall, and live, and act like the divine, exalted creation that God intended for man to be. You know, I'm not talking about having no fun. God knows I love to have fun. I wish I had time, honestly, to have more what we call fun. I did something last Thursday. I haven't done in years. I got some of the guys on the pastoral staff, and we got in one of the church vans, and not the church van, but a van, and we took off to watch our boys play basketball in Elkhart. And not a single one of those fellas, Brother Ray Young, Brother Roy Moffitt, Brother Elmer Fernandez, Randy Erickson, and then Brother Larry Weller. You ask them if I believe in having fun. You ask them if we had fun. You ask them if Brother Howell's a stick in the mud. No, I'm not. That's the first time I've had a night out with the boys since I was a boy. I believe in having fun. I really do. I'm not against it. And I sometimes wish, and this may sound unusual to you, I sometimes wish that, please don't misunderstand this, I wish that maybe you could know that side of me. I'm a little touchy ground now. I don't want you to sound like I'm boasting. I'm not. But I wish you could know that part. That's one of the liabilities of having a big church, and that is that there's a certain part of life that I can't, don't have time to enjoy, and couldn't enjoy it much. But I'm not talking about being a stick in the mud. I'm not talking about not having fun. I believe in having fun as much as anybody believes in having fun. But I am talking about this. I'm talking about what David said when David said, son, God has made you somebody. You are the most exalted of God's creatures. You are a member of the human race. He said, show thyself a man. I asked Brother John to go with us the other night, and he was going to somewhere else, and asked Brother Dave and others to go. Brother Dave couldn't go because Paul was having a baby, and he had to go down and practice breathing. At the hospital, I'm sorry. I think he ought to. I think it's wonderful. I really do. I think it's wonderful. But somehow I just remember associating that with Dave. You know, I mean, you know, going down to the hospital and practicing breathing so he can have a baby. I just remember associating that. I'm sorry, son. I'm proud of you that you're going. I really am. I really am. Now look, let me be serious. If you won't go next time, I think you ought to go. And Jezebel's got to go by herself. She can't drive. She's got him to drive because her arms can't reach the steering wheel. But I'm saying that I'm not saying don't have fun.
I'm not saying be a stick in the mud. I never have believed that a preacher, a pastor, ought to be a beloved, holy, holy, holy. I never have believed that. I just don't think, I'm not, that doesn't concern me. I mean, if I were you, and I went to one of these churches where a man wore a skirt, I'd join me a britches-wearing preacher's shirt. I really would. I really would. I mean, I just would. I mean, I wouldn't want some little effeminate guy that threw a ball like that, and that's a ball like that, and hit the bat. I wouldn't want that guy being my pastor now. I just wouldn't. And I believe in having fun. But I also believe this. And if this be too pious, then I plead guilty. I believe that God Almighty has made me a part of His highest creation. And I believe that God does not want me to live on an animal level, on a base, beastly level. God has chosen you and me to be a part of a creation that is called mankind. God intends for us to rise above the animal instincts, rise above the beastly nature, and to live as men and women created in the divine image of God Almighty. That's what David said. He's saying, son, show thyself a man. Show thyself to be above. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't eat. I'm not saying it's wrong to satisfy the physical appetites within bounds. But you know what he was saying. He was saying, son, eat to live. Don't live to eat. He was saying, son, make it your life. Accentuate the manly instincts. Now, why? In the first place, man was made in the image of his Creator. He is a ray from the eternal fountain of light. He is a drop from God's ocean of intelligence. Man is a transcript of the supernatural. He is the only child that God made who looks like his daddy. You and I, when God said, let us make man in our image. God will say, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us make us. We have made the animals. We have made the fowl that filled the air and the fish that filled the sea. And now God said, let's make some creation that is like us. And God made mankind. Male and female created He them. And God made us in His own image. And if God has made me in His own image, I do not want to live like those whom God did not make in His own image. And that's what David is saying. Would God that Solomon would have listened to him. Would God that Solomon would obey him. Solomon went on, behaved like an animal, and reared a boy that's worse than an animal. The kingdom was divided, and the kingdom was destroyed, and captivity came, and slavery came. Why? Because Solomon did not heed his dad's advice to rise above the base and rise above the profane and live on the high and exalted level that God intended for mankind to live on. That isn't all. David said, show thyself a man. He means this. Not only is man made in his image, but man is the only creation of God that has an immortal existence. Son, when Paula goes to the hospital and gives birth, I'm sorry, when you and Paula go to the hospital and give birth, we'll let you stand up and give a description like Brother Moffat gave when it's all over. We'll announce that service for adults only. But when that new life comes in the world, and that blood of your blood, and bone of your bone, and flesh of your flesh is born. There is born a never-dying, immortal soul who will be alive as long as God's alive. Look, man is somebody. Man is eternal. A dog dies. I hate to say this, you little children. I hate to say this. But Rover is not going to be in heaven. I'm sorry.
I feel like I've just broken more hearts.
But, and Fritz, the substitute for dog we have at our house, will not be in heaven. And, but, and old Bossy the cow. Only chance she's got to go to heaven is for one of us to eat a little bit of her. But when God made the fowl to fly soar through the air, when God made them mortal, when God made the fish to occupy the sea, God made the fish mortal. When God made the beast to occupy the field, God made the beast mortal. When God made man, God placed in man an eternal soul that'll live as long as God lives. And David is saying, son, since you are made in the image of God, and since you will live and have an immortal soul and will live as long as God lives, show thyself not to live like the sensuous animals of the field. Rise above it and show thyself a man. Thirdly, not only has God made man in his own image, and has God given man an immortal existence, but God has put him over all things. As I said a while ago, he's the foreman of the earth. David said that again when he said in the 8th Psalm, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Round the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy hands, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion of the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. David said, God, how exalted I am, how important I am. The fish that swim the sea are subject to man. The birds that fill the air are subject to man. The beasts that roam the field are subject to man. All your creation has become subservient to man. David is saying to his son Solomon, because you're made in the image of God, because you have an immortal soul, and because you are the foreman of the entire earth, he's saying, live like a man. Live like the exalted creation that you really are. Number four, he said. Not only is man over everything, but all things are made for man. All nature is commanded to support man's happiness. The birds sing for him. The flowers bloom for him. The sun rises for him. The rivers seek the ocean for him. The moon shines for him. I didn't say the moon shine is for him. I said the moon shines for him. The stars twinkle for him. The winds blow for him. The grass grows for him. The fish swim for him. The rain falls for him. The snow tiptoes earthward for him. The brook bubbles and ripples for him. The trees blossom for him. The roses bud for him. The sheep is shorn for him. The cattle are fed for him. The grain grows for him. The hen lays for him. The cow yields her milk for him. The seasons change for him. The earth revolves for him. The clouds gather for him. The lake sparkles for him. The tide rises for him. The leaves fall for him. The crops grow for him. Our Lord was born for him. He lived for him. He died for him. He rose for him. He ascended for him. He intercedes for him. He's coming again for him. All because man is somebody. David is saying, son, I charge you, as I leave this earth, no longer can I teach you with lips that move and a tongue that can speak. No longer can I mold you with hands that can mold. No longer can I lead you with feet that can walk. Soon my lips will be silent, and my tongue still, and my eyes closed, and my hands across my breast, and my feet will not move He said, son, the last thing I want to say to you is this. Show thyself a man made in the image of God. All things made for him. All things put under his feet. Dwelling in him is an immortal soul. And I say tonight, there needs to be a resurgence in fundamentalism of the spiritual over the temporal. Then he said, fifthly, man can fellowship with his Creator. I owe silver. Away. Silver can't fellowship with God. When I was a kid, used to be a dog named Ren 1010. He can't fellowship with God. I couldn't. Of all the creatures of God, the only one that can fall to his knees and lift his heart heavenward and fellowship with his Creator is man. Now, if that be true, why do you watch these programs that animals can watch that teach you to live like animals? Why, if that be true, why in the name of common sense don't we get above the beastly and above the sensuous and live like a man made in the image of God? Man is the only one of God's creatures who can arrest the ear of God. He's the only one of God's creatures who can meditate on the things of God. He's the only one of God's creatures who can read the divine word of God. He's the only one of God's creatures who can win a soul to eternal life through Jesus Christ. He's the only one of God's creatures who can take this book, as I'm doing tonight, and preach it to a crowd of people. Why? Because man is the only creation of God who can fellowship with his Creator. Number six, man is God's only creature who has a heaven prepared for him. God did not prepare hell for man. Matthew 25:41 says, God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. If you go to hell, you'll be an intruder. You'll go there because you choose to go there. God is not willing that any should perish. I have no patience whatsoever with these some are chosen to heaven, some are chosen to hell crowd. No patience whatsoever. Everybody that receives Christ as Savior, God will take him to heaven. Oh, Rahel Moody didn't understand it very much. He used to pray, God, save all the elect, and then elect some more. Now God prepared a place for us on earth. Think what he did. You've heard it said by me and other preachers. Look at the beauties of God's creation in 7 days. In 7 days, God painted the desert. In 7 days, God made the Red Mountains of Colorado to rise like snow-capped pyramids. In 7 days, God dropped 10,000 lakes in Minnesota, just big teardrops from his eternal eyes. In 7 days, God streaked a river called Mississippi. In 7 days, God raised the pines of Carolina, black church steeples pointing toward the sky. In 7 days, God made the mighty redwoods the Samson of the trees of Northern California and the northwestern part of our country. In 7 days, God carved the Chesapeake Bay. In 7 days, God, with his heavenly brush, made us swish across the sky and painted the rainbow. In 7 days, God made the lilac and the daffodil and the rose. In 7 days, God painted the meadow. In 7 days, God made the rolling verdant hills of Missouri and Kansas. In 7 days, God made the plains of Texas. In 7 days, God made the flat land of the north. In 7 days, God made the lakes of the north, the Great Lakes. In 7 days, God made the sunrise and the sunset and put the stars in the heaven. In 7 days, God made this beautiful planet. Pray tell me what heaven must be like. 2,000 years, the same one that made the glories of earth has been working on heaven
We ought to live like heaven-bound people. Not like earth-bound varmints. That isn't all. God has chosen a member of the Godhead to live in man. We've been studying about Him on Wednesday night. God took one member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit Himself, and discharged Him the responsibility of leading us when we're astray, strengthening us when we're weak, teaching us when we're ignorant, and comforting us when we're sad. It's not true for the animals. Not true. I saw it in the South. A little dog, puppy, run over. I saw what I found out later was his mother running out in the middle of the street and looking at the lifeless form of one of her puppies. No Holy Spirit came to comfort that dog. No heavenly strength came for that dog. But every time one of our own is taken, as we follow the hearse to the silent city of the dead and lay the bodies of our loved ones, all that could die, and return it or give it back to the dust from which it came, God Himself has discharged His Holy Spirit to come and give us comfort. Man is somebody. And David was saying to his son Solomon, "Son, you're somebody. You're made in the image of God. Act like it. Live like it. Talk like it. Sing like it. Walk like it. God has given you an immortal soul. Live like it. God has put all things under your feet. Live like it. God's made you the foreman of the universe. Live like it. God has given you a city in which to live eternally. Live like it. God has given you a member of the Godhead to live with you constantly and lead you and guide you and strengthen you and comfort you. Live like it." He's saying that God has also written a book to man. A book written by His Maker. No other creation can say that. Now let me get to the message. It seems awful strange that we could belong to such an exalted group and such an exalted creation. Boy, every time I walk by an old horse, I'll look at him and say, "Man, you ain't much. Look at me, horse." Every time I walk by a cow, or hear a hen bragging because she just laid an egg, we ought to say, "Shut up there, honey." I'm talking about the hen you live with. I'm talking about a hen. I'm a man. I don't mean now male. I mean I belong to God's exalted creation. And I marvel how we've taken that creation and tried to cause it to become depraved as animals and beasts of the field. Sometimes I'll turn my In the motel room, I'll turn the television on the news or something. They're trying to find the news, and I'll see some young people wiggling in some rock and roll dance. And I marvel that they could do that. They ought to be standing tall and saying, "I'm proud I'm a man. I'm proud I'm human. I'm proud that God created me in His own image." And yet we choose to lose our dignity. We fight like cats and dogs. We listen to animal music. That's why you shouldn't listen to rock music. Because rock music is made for the sensuous, the base, the vulgar. God leads His dear children along. Don't you sing this morning, the choir? Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Yeah. I listened to that song this morning. And when it was finished, I don't think I heard one amen. But you let some long-haired quartet get up and sing like a bunch of beasts. and wiggle with thunder, a bunch of amens. And I thought as the choir sang that, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. By his pleasant pastures, lead us. I couldn't help but say, I wish everybody could feel like I feel right now. I wish everybody could tingle like I tingle right now.
We, made in the image of God, possessing an immortal soul, possessors of a book written by God, possessors of a Holy Spirit from the Godhead to indwell us.
We even choose our churches according to the beastly. Oh, I'm going to... I tell you, I like that church. Because, boy, they have a lot of good socials. Well, don't you ever join our church because of that, Buster.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I was down south not long ago. And a fellow said, I go to this church over here. Boy, we have such good fun and a lot of good socials. We have some young couple get-togethers and social. I'm not against that, but you ought to join a church because it's after the souls of men. That's why you ought to join a church.
Oh, my soul, don't live like that.
And those,
you call a pastor that way. I got a letter out, church out west.
Would you help us find a pastor? He must be at least 5'10". He must be under 35. He must be a graduate from a seminary. He must have a wife and family. And it went on a list. And I said, I wrote back and I said, don't write me again. You wouldn't consider John the Baptist, nor Jeremiah, nor Bob Jones Sr., nor John Rice, nor Billy Sunday, nor Dwight Moody, nor Sam Jones, nor R.A. Torrey. They wouldn't qualify for your church. I said, what you need to do is get on your knees and pray God's Holy Ghost to lead you to an old-fashioned, Bible-loving, sin-hating, Christ-honoring, Spirit-filled man of God with convictions and standards to come there and help your young folks and your people to get spiritual. That's what you need.
I'm not against parties. I'm for them. Not against socials. I'm for them. Not against youth activities. I'm for them. But to choose a church for that is carnal. To call a pastor for that is carnal.
We choose our food according to sensuous. We choose the place we live in according to climate. Beauty. We choose a college according to whether it has a football team or a basketball team. Now, I'm not against a college having a football team or a basketball team. But I am against your using a carnal method like that
from which to choose one. We choose our clothes, our TV programs, our reading material, and even in some cases choose a profession for how much money it'll make. How wicked. What's wrong with being a good Christian?
What's wrong with standing tall and saying, I am made in the image of God Almighty, and I am the only one of God's creatures that can get on my knees and God can say to me, this is my will for your life.
Good night. I'm the only creature that God has made that can come to God and find a divine plan and divine purpose and will for my life. I'm not going to seek it like an animal would seek what he ought to do. Hey, you, in the tavern. An animal can do that.
Hey, you on Lover's Lane.
Two animals could take your place.
Hey, you in the disco?
Animal can do that.
Hey, you! Naked? Half naked?
Our dog Fritz can do that. I'd hate to do anything Fritz could take my place doing.
Hey, you! Taking dope? Drinking liquor? Loafing? Smoking your cigarettes? Glued to your television set?
animal can do that. Rats can eat. And it'll eat as long as you keep feeding him. Give him food. He always eats in the living room. Wherever pedigreed dog ought to eat. Linda can get the piano. Anybody can. I can get there and play. And as long, or you ring the doorbell, and Fritz will sing. Woo, as long as you play. Woo, 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 as long as you play. Fritz can strip naked, play, blow. Dr. Bill Rice used to have a horse. Ask that horse how many disciples there were. He'd take his right paw and go. Ask him how many bad ones there were. He'd go. Ask him how many days in a week. Ask him how many commandments. Ask him how many hypocrites in the church. I'd hate that dog no more Bible than I know. I haven't told this story in a long time here, I think. Christmas 1959. I was out soul winning. Over on North Side. Hammond. On Columbia Street. Knocked on the door of a family named McBroom. McBroom. He was at home. She was not. Just a young man in his early 50s. And a middle-aged man. And I said, I'm Brother Hiles, pastor of First Baptist Church. And he began to weep. And he said, would you come back tonight? It's Christmas Eve. He said, come back tonight. He said, my wife is leaving me. And he said, would you come back? Please come back if you can. I went back Christmas Eve, 1959. They were home. I told them the wonderful story of Christ. We sang about it a while ago. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. When in scenes of glory I sing the new song, it'll just be the old, old story that I've loved so long. I told them how to be saved. We all wept and we knelt to pray. Beside the sofa, at the sofa. I was between them and she prayed and he prayed and while we were all praying, I felt something cold on my cheek. Looked up and it was a cocker spaniel dog. I grabbed that dog, stuck his neck in the pillow. His nose in the pillow on the sofa. Held him like that. He struggled. And all the time I was praying, they were praying, they were getting saved, and I stuck his nose in the pillow. Finally, he went limp. Good night, I hit him around the neck. I thought, good night, I've killed her dog. Killed him. I thought, they're getting saved, and as soon as they look up, I'm going to say, you know you're going to heaven. The dog's already gone there. I was scared to death. Honestly, scared to death. I never wanted prayer to continue forever. It was bad in my life. Finally, we looked up, and he opened his eyes. He was weak, but he was still alive. He prayed. He was there praying with us. As I left, the street light was out in front of the house. Had a flock Christmas tree and presents around it. I saw Mr. and Mrs. McBroom come toward each other. The dog was still there on the sofa with his hand paws up like that, back feet on the floor and paws up like that, begging for somebody to give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And they came together and hugged each other. And I thought, what a picture for a Christmas card. Flock tree, snow on the ground outside, Christmas Eve night. Songs, the carols being sung. And there they are, just came to Christ. What a picture. A year later, I told that story, just like I told it to you just then. The McBrooms are sitting right up here in the old building that burned. And I told the story. They came down the steps after the service and said, Pastor, I won't talk to you. Mr. McBroom said, why didn't you tell the rest of the story? I said, I don't know the rest of it. He said, here it is. He said, the next night, after we got saved, he said, it was 8 o'clock. Exactly, we got saved. 8 o'clock sharp. He said, the next night at 8 o'clock, our Cocker Spaniel dog came back to the sofa exactly at 8. Exactly. He said, he put his front paws up on the sofa and put his nose in the pillow. And for about 5 minutes, he prayed there. I said to my wife, that dog, last night was there. He's back again. He said the next night, he did the same thing. 8 o'clock sharp. He put his paws there. A week of that happened. I said to my wife, good night. He got more religion than we did. We don't pray every night like that. Let's kneel beside him. He said, Pastor, he said, for an entire year now, every night, 8 o'clock, our dog has come from that sofa and put his paws up. We've knelt beside him, and we have a family altar. What am I saying? A dog can have a form of worship service. Holy, 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 amen. A dog can do that. I don't know what. I've seen some choir soloists sing anthems in liberal churches and high church places that remind me a great deal of Fritz. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God made me in His image. And I'm glad that of all of God's creation, I am a part of that one creation that has an eternal soul. And I'm glad that God has made me a part of that creation to be in charge of all of the creatures. And I'm glad that God has made me a part of that creation that can fellowship with my Creator and understand and read the book that He's given me and is indwelt by one of the Godhead itself. Listen. Listen, little widow. Listen, bus kid. Listen, mission man. Listen, orphan. Listen, Pathfinder. You're somebody made in the image of Almighty God. I see you mission men out here on State Street smoking cigarettes. God didn't make you do that. What a testimony it is. There you are. First Baptist Church Rescue Mission. Stand out there in the street, puffing on a cigarette. You're made in the image of God. God has placed eternity in your heart. Rise above it. You're somebody. That goes for everybody here, too. Everybody. I'll not belabor it. I've said enough about it. At 2 o'clock in the morning, a phone call came from Dr. Walt Hanford. And Dr. Walt Hanford said, Brother Hiles, Brother, or Dr. Rice, went to heaven a few minutes ago. And I walked into the family room downstairs, dark, and stayed there quite a while alone. And I began to relive many of those places where we've shared pulpits. I thought of Portland, and San Francisco, and Sacramento, and Fresno. I thought of San Diego, and Canoga Park, and Los Angeles, and Phoenix, and Albuquerque, and Boise, and Twin Falls, and Des Moines, and Omaha, and Minneapolis, and St. Paul. I thought of Milwaukee and Watertown. I thought of Oklahoma City and Tulsa and Dallas and Houston and Fort Worth and Garland. I thought of Shreveport and Memphis and Little Rock and Baton Rouge and Miami and Tampa and Jacksonville and Orlando and St. Petersburg and Atlanta, and Birmingham, and Montgomery. I thought of Chattanooga. I thought of Charlotte. I thought of Winston-Salem. I thought of Lynchburg, and Roanoke, and Norfolk, and Washington, and Buffalo, and Rochester. I thought of Cleveland, and Akron, and Canton, and Massillon. I thought of Detroit, and Pontiac, and Chicago. I thought of Indianapolis. I just went city after city after city where the old man and I had sat on platforms. And I got thinking about life. I got thinking about all the nights that Dave used to play on the high school basketball team. He wasn't good enough to be a starting player, but Dr. Billings loved to eat. He was the principal. and I was a superintendent. No. But I thought of all the nights that Dave played on the high school basketball team when all the other members had their dads in the stands except Dave. I thought about the nights that through the years I'd missed so many things I'd like to have done. The other night I got back from watching our boys play. I felt sort of guilty. I felt like going to the mourner's bench and maybe confessing because I'd laughed a little too much. I've missed some things in life I wouldn't trade for the world. I told the fellows the other night I'd like to have another life to live maybe sometime if God didn't call me to preach, to sort of be a little more normal. I'm not lamenting anything. I'm not asking you to be like me. But I am asking you to realize that you're somebody made in the image of God with divine or divinity stamped on you. Ray from God's great sunlight. Created in His own image. Made foreman of His universe. Made higher than any other creature. A little lower, just a little lower than the angels. Crowned with glory and honor. And I say to you, my people tonight, enjoy life. You got a good joke? Tell it to me. I want to hear it. Brother Penman, that's good ones only, please. Funny ones only. I love to tell. I'd laugh. We were in deacon's meeting. And I said something sort of spiritual. And Bill Hassey said, "Hey, fellas, look who's getting religious." What did it mean? I like that. I like a good laugh. I like it when John Penley sang a song here one night, and I said, "We have old Slim to come and sing." John Penley waddled up here and said, "Thank you, Bushy." I like that. I like it. I like to have fun. But I want my fun to be fun that befits man. God's highest creature. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Round the mouths of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man, heart mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that Thou visitest him? For Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the work of Thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. And to think, I am a part of that creation. And I hear the words of David spoken to Solomon and to me through Solomon as the Holy Spirit inspired. Show thyself a man. And I say to you, my people, I say to you, sailors, and you mission men, and you bus young people, and Hammond Baptist High School young people, and Hiles Anderson College students, and beloved members of this church, throw back your shoulders! Throw out your chest! Throw in your chin! Raise up your eyes! With thanksgiving to God, show thyself, our Heavenly Father. I pray tonight that we'll learn to live life on its highest plane. Lord, lift us up and let us stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than we have found. Lord, plant our feet on higher.